Center. And after the service, there's going to be a table outside the media center. So if you are missing a Bible, we may have it. And I'm not on.
There we go. So anyway, if you've lost a Bible, maybe you've misplaced a Bible, at the end of the service, outside the media center, there's going to be a table, and maybe your Bible will be there. Or if there's Bibles there and you need a Bible, please take one. So, but they'll be outside the media center after the service, so please go by and look at that table if you get a few moments, if you're looking for a Bible. So, all right. Let's get started. Everybody doing good? Husbands, you ready? Ready or not, we're going to do this thing. So, we're going through our Love That Lasts series. If you are visiting with us, this is a series where we are trying to look biblically and practically what a long-lasting, successful marriage looks like. The first week, we looked at doing our part, and I pray that each one of you are doing that every day. You're praying for your spouse, you're praying for yourself, you're asking God to reveal anything that you're doing that's hindering your marriage. When He does that, A, you're acknowledging it to Him, also to your spouse. Then R, in the word part, you're repenting of it, saying, okay, God, I realize where I'm falling short. I want to make a few adjustments. Help me. Make me change directions. Help me do things differently. And then the T in the PART acronym is be teachable. Let God teach you through His Word and maybe through other godly men or women how to make those necessary adjustments. So if a marriage is going to work, we all have got to do our part. We've introduced several topics that we're going to be looking at. Last time we were together, we talked about the roadmap to a successful marriage. You see the atlas up there. A marriage is much like reading an atlas, following directions. God gives us everything that we need in His Word to have a successful marriage. We just have to implement it. We have to follow the directions. Last time we were together, we looked at who came up with the idea of marriage, what should a marriage look like, and why does it matter. If you weren't here, you can check that sermon out at cbcarcadia.org and read that. So we've kind of looked at so far the who, what, and whys of marriage, as you see from those three questions. Now we're going to begin looking at the hows. We're going to begin several weeks of looking at the how-tos, the practical things that we need to be doing as husband and wife. And over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about our different roles. The role of a husband this week, then we're going to look at the role of a wife next week. And what we're basically going to see this week is we're going to talk about how to be a happy husband. Do you guys want to be a happy husband? You want to be happy in your marriage? Well, before I get going any further, I've got a couple of guys on the video that will give you a few practical tips that are going to kind of get this thing jumped off. So if you'll look at this video for a few moments, then I'll come back and add a little bit to it. So turn your attention to the screen.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gary Smalley, and I've been helping marriages for years improve. And I've got a couple of friends who have some very unique insights into marriage, and I want you to meet them.
Hey, thank you, Gary. My name is Johnny.
And I'm Chachi.
And you know, marriages is something that I think we're all excited about and something that we think we can bring a lot of wisdom to. Isn't that right, Dr. Dobson?
Smalley?
That's our faux pas. We got some killer marriage tips we think are really going to knock your socks off.
Yeah.
So let's do some dancing, get this party started, and help marriages out all over the country. Let's do it.
No, let's go ahead and just roll with the tips. No dancing.
When you get the chance, finish your wife's sentences
for her.
Yeah. It's important that she knows that you know where she's going with a particular thought or sentence.
Yeah, this says, I know you, I love you, and you're predictable, but in a good way.
When on vacation, have fun, but make sure your wife knows exactly how much this thing is costing. Now remember, allowing her to feel guilt can actually be a good thing.
Right you are, because guilt is actually an acronym for good financial stewardship.
No, that's...
Yeah, it is.
That makes sense.
It is.
Does not make sense.
It is.
When you're in an argument, it's key to use the time that your spouse is talking to come up with what you want to say next. So it goes like this. You speak, and then while she's speaking, you think,
and then you speak again.
And that's how the killer comebacks happen.
Surprise your wife with a weekend trip for you and your buddies. Husbands, doing this will help her see that you're taking care of your needs.
And taking care of your needs will give you the ability to take care of her needs. You know, putting your kids in timeout works for most parents, but putting your spouse in timeout can also be really effective. Putting your spouse in the timeout chair will hopefully help her see things from a different perspective, preferably yours.
And if you get any pushback, I'd let her know that you're having a hard time telling her apart from the children.
That's classic. I like that.
Whenever your wife tells you about something she wants to buy, respond with the sound effect of a cash register. Here's a little role play for you. Hey, honey, I'm going to go buy some skinny jeans.
Cha-ching.
Hey, honey, I'm going to go get some bread now.
Cha-ching.
You know, guys, those are kind of horrible tips.
Okay.
I guess she didn't like them that much.
I mean, when you think about it, those were killer tips, and I think they'd, like, kill most marriages.
Well, I guess we're at an impasse then.
Yeah. Awkward.
Hey, Gary, here's an idea, though. To keep the video rolling, let's just do the robot at the end and send this thing off with some fun, if you know what I'm saying. We gonna do that with us?
I tell you what, I was, you know, a little bit uncomfortable by this. It's kind of, like, weird.
Yeah, so... Husbands, how many of that sound like you? So, if that does sound like you, let me tell you something. You're not going to be a very happy husband for very long. So everything you just heard, scrap it from your mind. We're going to give you some biblical things that you need to be doing as a husband to do your part to make your wife happy and to make yourself happy. If you'll take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to park here for the next couple of weeks because, again, we talked about using God's Word as a roadmap to a successful biblical marriage. And here's probably one of the best passages in all of Scripture about how we do that as husbands and wives. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. We're going to talk about this today. We're going to look at a couple of things in this passage of Scripture today. But before we do that, we're going to talk about being a happy husband. And if you can see on your outline, we can only truly be happy when we are truly holy. We can only be truly happy when we are truly holy, doing the things the way God has prescribed them to be done. The more we are holy, the more we are following God, the more God is conforming us to His image, then the more we're going to be the husband God wants us to be, the more our wives are going to appreciate it, and the more we're going to have a happy marriage, one that is honoring to God, one that is long-lasting, one that you are happy to be a part of, and you're not looking for the escape clause to get out of it. I heard a country song a few years ago, and I don't know if any of you guys like country music, but you know they have a lot to say about marriage sometimes, good and bad, I guess. But this particular song that I heard was about this guy who had a heart attack, and he died, and he was on the, you know, the table. They brought in the defibrillator, right? Defibrillator, is that right? Defibrillator, yes. So, see, my wife had to help me there. So, smart husband, I listen. Defibrillator. So they shocked his heart, and he came back to life. So he died, but then they brought him back to life. And then as he was, you know, regaining his consciousness, they told him what had happened. And you have to understand that this guy had a horrible marriage. You know, his wife was just a nag. You know, it was just not a happy thing. So he said, let me get this straight. You're telling me that I died? And then he remembered that when he took his wedding vows, they were till death do us part. So he died. They brought him back to life. And then the song said he called his lawyer, he called his preacher, and he reminded them that his vows were till death do us part. Now he was free. I guess on a technicality, he might be right. I don't know. But I say this to ask you this question, husbands. If that sounds like a plan for you, If that sounds good to you, your marriage is not where it should be. Okay? That's not God's plan, right? Till death do us part is not an easy way out, or you're not going to try to do anything and have the defibrillator standing by, right? That's not going to work. We want you to have a happy marriage, a holy marriage, a marriage that honors God, a marriage that you can be happy in, content in, satisfied in, because you are doing all the things that God wants you to do. So if you have your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 5, let's read verses 22 through 23, and then we're going to get going talking about what it means to be a happy, holy husband. Here's what it says in God's Word. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Verse 31, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Father God, we are just here this morning asking for you to show us from your word what it means to be a godly husband. God, if we try to get that definition, what a husband looks like from the world, usually we get a demeaning, funny, passive guy that's always getting beat up, made fun of. But Lord, we see a totally different picture when we look at what a husband is from your word. And Lord, I pray that we'll be able to tune out what the world says, tune out what culture says, tune out what society says, and God, tune in what you say we should be as husbands. Lord, this world needs godly men who are godly husbands to lead their wives and their families. Lord, as we look at your roadmap this morning, give us the direction we need. Show us where we're falling short. And God, show us how to change directions. Teach us. God, we want to be teachable this morning. We want to understand what it is that you expect from us. So Lord, teach us. Give us application. Show us how we can leave this place more committed to being the husbands that you want us to be than when we came in the door this morning. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to look at basically two things this morning. Two things that Scripture says that if you want to be a happy husband with a happy wife and a long-lasting successful marriage, you got to realize that you are two things. Number one, you see this on your outline. A happy husband is his wife's, number one, it says, should say, write this down, leader. If you want to be a happy husband, if you want to do things God's way, you've got to realize that God has put you in a place of leadership. Look what it says back in his word in verses 23 and 24 of Ephesians 5. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ in everything, so wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now, society will tell you one thing about headship and submission, but I want you not to think about the things that maybe you've taught, things that society has told you, you know, how it's bad, how it's, you know, whatever, you know, caveman, club, you know, that kind of thing. This is not the picture the Bible paints. So this morning, I want you to come and approach what God's Word says with me with an open mind, open heart, ready for God to show you what He's talking about when He says the husband is the spiritual leader of his wife. So let me break down a few words for you so that we're going to try to get a picture of what God is saying here. When you look at verse 23 and 24, when you see the word husband, what does the word husband literally mean? How is it defined in the original language? Well, the word husband is a noun, and it means manager. The husband is a steward. He is a caretaker. It means the man is ultimately responsible. It means that to direct, to manage. These are strong terms that God uses to describe the man in the marriage relationship, and all these terms imply leadership. Now look at another word in those verses. It says the word husband implies leadership, but then we have the word head. Now this word head literally means director, it means chief, headmaster, principal, it means leadership or authority. Now if you want to have some fun with your wife this week, ask her to call you chief for the rest of the week, right? I wouldn't recommend that. So, but all these words are pointing to a position of leadership that God gives you as the husband. Now, although God created man and woman equal, as we talked about a few weeks ago, both are made in His image. None is higher than the other. We are equal in the sight of God, but He assigned us each with different roles. So we are equal, but we both have different functions to play in the marriage. This week we're going to talk about the husband, and God has given husbands that role of leadership. So the next thing you see on your outline, the husband is to be the head of the home, meaning it is his divine calling to take the primary responsibility to be the leader in the home. So write that on your outline. The husband is to be the head of the home, the steward. God has given you caretake over his family that you are in managing, so to speak. The husband is the head of the home, meaning it is his divine calling by God to take the primary responsibility to be the leader in the home. Now, if you remember way back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, we see that God gave Adam the position of headship. And this is the reason why, when Adam and Eve sinned, do you remember who God came looking for in the garden? Now, Eve is the one that took the fruit, right, from the serpent. Eve is the one that gave it to her husband, and he ate. So, you know, in our minds, we would think, and husbands, you may want to think, see, even from the beginning, it's been the woman's fault. But God didn't see it that way. Look what it says in Genesis 3, 14 through 15, so we can kind of lay a foundation of where we're going this morning. It says, so God came looking, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? But the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? He didn't come looking for Eve. He came looking for Adam. Where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, Adam said, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He came looking for Adam because he had given Adam that position of headship, the one that was supposed to oversee the family, the one that was supposed to have prevented or stopped or encouraged Eve not to do that and not to have taken it, not to be passive in the whole thing, but to have been a godly leader, encouraging his wife, loving his wife, and trying to prevent her from making those mistakes. So God didn't come looking for Eve, but Eve was responsible, right? She was guilty, just as Adam was, but when God came looking, He came looking for the husband because He had given Adam that responsibility, that leadership position. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 5 with me. If you're still there, stay there. We see that the role of headship is always to be the man's. Because God compares this relationship of husband and wife to Jesus Christ and the church. And we know in that relationship, our relationship with Jesus Christ, who is always the head in that? Jesus, right? Is there ever a time when we become the head? Never. So God compares that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ with the relationship that husbands are to have with wives. So what He's saying is the husband is always to be the leader in the marriage relationship. Look what it says in verse 23 again. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. So He makes that correlation. And we know Christ is always the head of the church. So the husband is always to be the head in the marriage relationship. Now, let's think about something, because this is where society can run with this and make it sound bad and, you know, make us Christians sound like cavemen and, you know, do this for me, woman, type thing. This is not what God is talking about. Because when we look at our leadership position as husbands, we have an example that we are instructed to follow. Now, whose example is that? So, husbands, when I ask you, who do you model your role as husband after? You may think of your father. You may think of somebody that you know in the church. But ultimately, I want you to think of Jesus Christ. Because He is the ultimate example of what a godly husband is like and should be like. And he's the one that we're to base how we lead our families on. So you see on your outline, Jesus was primarily, now write this word down, a servant leader. Jesus was a servant leader. He was a servant leader. Now men, that is critical that we understand what kind of leader Jesus was, because we're to be the same thing. He was a servant leader. You see, we must lead the way Jesus led. Jesus, if you go to, just write this passage down. We're not going to turn to it. But John 13, verses 1 through 15 are a great example of Jesus' servant leadership. In that passage, it's the great picture when he got down on his knees, took a basin, took a towel, and washed the disciples' feet. And you would think, why was Jesus doing that? Well, he was modeling what a leader is. A leader is first and foremost a servant. Not a dictator, not a dominator, a servant. A servant. So we have to understand that Jesus was a servant leader, and this is the type of leader that he calls us to be to our wives and to our children. So what does that look like? How does that flesh out in our marriages? What does it mean to be a servant leader to our wives and in our homes? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we're going to talk about that right now. A servant leader, make sure, this is the next thing on your outline, a servant leader makes sure that his wife and family are protected and provided for. So write that down. A servant leader makes sure that his wife and family are protected and provided for. Now, this protection and provision both has a spiritual and a physical implication, and we're going to talk about both, for both protection and provision. We're going to talk about spiritual protection, physical protection, spiritual provision, and physical provision. That's what we're going to talk about the rest of the day. So we're going to break this out and see what a servant leader looks like. What does a husband who is leading his wife as a servant look like? And we've got basically four things that we're going to get through today. So hang on, bear with me, get your pens ready. I want you to write this stuff down, men, women. I want you to write it down too, so that you can lovingly remind your husband of what he's supposed to be doing. And guys, that's okay, right? Because we want all the accountability that we can get, because God knows, right? Lord, you know this. We need it. You guys know it. You know we need it. So let's talk about that. Let's break it down. Let's first talk about this idea that we are to protect our wives. First thing, A on your outline. Husbands, as servant leaders, must spiritually protect their wives. So Scripture gives us this idea that we are to spiritually protect our wives. A couple of ways that we can do this. First, we need to be praying for our wives. We've already talked about that in our part. First thing, P, we need to be praying for our marriages, praying for our wives, praying that they would draw closer to the Lord, praying that God would move in their lives in a mighty way, praying that they would, you know, be able to fight temptation, praying that they would make wise decisions, you know, praying that they would just develop a deeper hunger for the things of the Lord. So we've got to spiritually protect our wives to make sure that we are helping our wives, coming alongside of our wives, because we are one. Remember, we are one in our marriage relationship, and it's our job as the leader in the home to make sure that our wives are growing in their faith. Again, not in a type way, or look at me, I'm the leader. It's in a serving way, to doing everything you can to help your wife become more like Christ. And the best way you can do that is by becoming more like Christ yourself, right? So you're to spiritually protect your wives. It's also your responsibility, talking about practical things, to monitor what goes on in your home. You are the spiritual leader. You've been given that position of leadership, and you are to protect your wife and to protect your kids. That means you need to be aware of what's being watched on TV, what's being looked at on the computer, what kind of music's coming in, you know, what your kids are doing. You need to be aware of the spiritual atmosphere in your home. Or are you leading a home that is bringing glory to God, or are you leading a home that is just ripe with the flesh? Men, if God were to come looking for your home and he had a problem with it, he's not going to ask for your wife, just like he did with Adam. He's going to come to you and say, what's the condition of your home? Is it honoring me? So many people say, oh, the leadership, oh, I wish we had that. The leadership is such a position to be envied. Is it really? Because all the weight of where your home is ultimately is on you as the leader. So you've got to be a man of God. You've got to be seeking after the Lord. And you've got to be leading your family to do the same thing. You've got to spiritually monitor your home. You've got to be praying for your wife and your kids. And you've got to make sure that your household is bringing glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 is a great scripture verse for men to look at and to remember. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Is your house bringing glory to God? Is your marriage bringing glory to God? Because God's going to come looking for you if it's not. That's on your shoulders. You're the leader. You're the spiritual protector. Are you protecting your wife? Are you protecting your kids? Are you making sure that you've got an environment that honors God in your marriage and in your home? And again, it goes back to you. What example are you setting? Does your wife and your kids see you in the Word of God? Do they see you praying? Do you lead your family in that? Because you've got to spiritually protect your family. God's given you that responsibility. But secondly, I talked about a physical aspect of this protection. So that's B on your outline. Husbands, as the servant leaders, husbands as servant leaders must physically protect their wives. Now I can say this in three words, because we've seen TV won't show you this. Movies won't show you this. You'll see the exact opposite on most sitcoms you watch, that the man is the little wallflower, right? That everybody makes fun of, that everybody walks over. But here's what I mean when I say physically protect your wives. Three words, write this down. Be the man. Be the man. Be the man that God has called you to be to protect your wife and your family. Physically protect them. Now this is not rocket science. Look out for your wives. You know, some practical illustrations that I think of that, you know, if my wife is going to Walmart at night or going shopping at night, a lot of times she will call me, you know, walking out of the store, walking to her car just to be talking to me. Now I could say, how stupid is that, honey? Get over it. You're a grown woman. But I should be there for her. You know, okay, I'm here. You know, or if she's driving late at night, she just wants to talk. She has that sense that I'm with her. That's a good thing, right? Or how about this? You're sitting on the couch at night, and maybe you're watching TV, and it's 11:30. You're watching a movie, and your wife said, oh, honey, I forgot. I left something in the car. And it's black outside, and it's dark. And you say, okay, the keys are hanging on the rack. Go get it. Be the man. Protect your wife. Oh, honey, I'd be glad to get that for you, right? Maybe with not all the dramatics, just get your butt up and go get it. Just go get it. When you hear that, I left something out in the car. Oh, it's my pleasure to go get it for you. Here's another one. I think I read this one somewhere and I liked it, so I'm going to share it with you. You're laying in bed at night. You hear a noise. You hear something drop or you hear something. You don't know what it is. And you look over at your wife and say, I checked it last time. Go check it out. Men! Be men! You're called to spiritually protect your wives, to monitor the atmosphere where they are, to encourage them to be more like Christ, to monitor what comes in spiritually, but physically protect them. Protect them. God's given you that role. Adam should have been there protecting Eve, saying, no, don't do that. That doesn't honor God. We don't need to do that. As tempting as he was, because he fell right into it, because he wasn't where he should have been in that relationship at that time. But we got to spiritually protect our wives. We got to physically protect our wives. So you know, play back the last few months. Does this happen? Is this playing out in your own relationship? Because as the spiritual leader, what God's saying, you're a servant leader. You're a servant leader. You serve. You serve. You know what that means? It means it's not about you. Men, I'm talking to you. It's not about us. It's about our wives. And we got to do everything we can to serve them. So he has this idea that we're to spiritually protect them. We're to physically protect them. Now let's look at the talk. I said that this servant leader, it has the idea of protection and provision. Now let's switch over to the provision part and see how we spiritually provide and then how we physically provide. Letter C, husbands, as servant leaders, must spiritually provide for their wives. Now these two are very closely connected, the protection and provision, and you're going to see how C goes with A really well. So if we're to spiritually protect our wives, to make sure that they're all they need to be in Christ, and protect our homes and monitor what comes in and what we're, you know, doing as a family, because we want everything to honor God, then we've got to spiritually provide for our wives. And as I've said already, the best way we do that is by walking with God, first and foremost, ourselves. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. A good leader has to be a good follower, right? If you're a good leader, you've got to be a good follower. And who should you be following as a man of God? God, right? Jesus Christ. You've got to be following Him. You've got to be growing in your own relationship every single day. You've got to be letting God lead you, and you've got to be leading your wife as God leads you. You've got to love Jesus with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. You've got to be growing in your relationship, or you're never going to be the husband God wants you to be. If you're not following Him on a consistent basis, growing in your faith every day, you can never spiritually provide what your wife needs. She needs to see it in you. She needs to see how much you love the Lord. So you better be growing. You better be getting closer and closer and closer to Him every single day. You also got to make sure that the two of you, your husband and wife, that two of you are connecting spiritually. We oftentimes think that we need to connect physically, and we're going to talk about that in a few weeks. But we got to connect spiritually. We got to be on the same page. And I know some marriages aren't. I understand that. And you may be in one of those marriages. And again, as I said a few weeks ago, pray, 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 pray that God will bring your spouse to that point. Pray for them. Model it in front of them. Continue to live out your faith. Because the best, strongest marriage is going to be when both are seeking the Lord with all their heart. Remember this? We saw this a few weeks ago, this triangle. This is a beautiful picture of marriage. As you are drawing closer to God and your spouse is drawing closer to God, and as you're drawing closer to God together, you're drawing closer to each other. So men, one way that you can spiritually provide for your wives is to make sure that you're doing some kind of spiritual devotion or connection with them every day. Do you pray with your wives? Do you read the Word with your wives? Do you do some kind of devotion every single day with your wife or as much as possible? You know, I can't say every single day because there's days that we don't, but I strive to, I want to, because we have to connect spiritually. We have to be doing this thing together. We both love God, and He's the number one thing in both of our lives, but that draws us closer together. So men, you have to take the lead in this. Make sure you're connecting with your wife spiritually. Ask her to pray with you, and I know that's hard. But we never said this stuff would be easy. Again, you think back to Jesus. Was a lot of stuff He went through hard? Absolutely. But He was a servant. He did it for us. We can do it for our wives. You know, there's good devotions that you can do. Family Life with Dennis and Barbara Rainey have a great marriage devotion that I get sent to me every single day. And a lot of times that's what Kim and I do. We read the devotion. It usually has a scripture at the top, and we'll read that, and sometimes we'll go and look a little bit more at that scripture. Sometimes we'll just read the verse, and then we'll do the devotion, and usually there are some questions that you kind of ask. It spurs a little conversation. It challenges you to pray together. And again, you just connect. Men, that's not on your wives. God says that's up to you to make sure you're connecting spiritually with your wives, and you are providing, spiritually providing for her. We've got to make time to do this. If you've got kids, men, you've got to be the ones that take the lead in making sure you do family devotions. Again, God's looking at you for the spiritual pulse of your house. You've got to be leading. Remember the challenge God gives us all the way back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. Again, it goes back to our own relationship first, but then He says, and these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You must spiritually provide for your wife and kids. If you're not doing a family devotion, if you're not doing a devotion or connecting spiritually with your wife, again, husbands, that's on us. God's going to ask us about that. He's coming after us, looking for us and saying, why not? You're the servant leader. I've given this responsibility to you. Serve your wife. Serve your family. Make sure your house is where it needs to be. Make sure you're honoring me in your marriage, with your kids. Your household is one, again, that people can see me oozing out of. Men, that's our responsibility to spiritually provide for our wife. And then if you have kids, to provide for your kids as well. So take the lead. Be men. Don't wait on your wife to do it. God says, I want you to do it. Be the leader your wife needs. D, husbands as servant leaders must physically provide for their wives as well. Being the servant leaders that God called us to be, it's our responsibility as the leaders of our home to make sure our wives and families are provided for. Very simply means if one of you has to work, it should be you, if at all possible. Now, this does not mean women should not work, and I'm not promoting that women don't work. But I know, like in our instance, Kim, we've decided as a husband and wife to homeschool our kids. You know, so I work so that she doesn't have to do that. There's nothing wrong with women working outside the home. That's fine. But if there's a situation where one of you has to work, basically God wants you as a man to make sure that you're providing. You're providing for your family. That you don't have no problem providing for your family. You want to take care of your wife. You want to take care of your kids. Again, you are a what kind of leader? Servant. So you want to serve. You want to make sure their needs are being met. The Bible has a mandate here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Look what it says. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. He has denied his faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So provide. Make sure your family is provided for. Do what you can to make sure your wife has what she needs. Now, don't do it like these guys and go, cha-ching, write everything you want. Cha-ching, more hours for me at the job. Cha-ching. It ain't about that, right? And we're going to talk about next week that, you know, wives have a part in this as well. But you do it out of service, not to say, oh, look at you. Look how awesome you are, husband, right? It's not about cha-ching. You know, it's about how can I serve you? You know, this is our posture as men constantly, right? We should be on our knees, right? Saying, how can we serve you? How can I make your life better? What can I do to make our marriage better? What can I do to make our family better? Because God puts that on us as servant leaders. Now, just some practical advice here, guys. If you do work all day and your wife, this is maybe for some younger folks in here, this doesn't mean just because you work that you don't help around the house, right? You have a long, hard day at the office and you come home, you're tired. Your wife's had a long, hard day at the office, at home with the kids, but you say, you know what, honey, I've brought the bacon home. You're going to fry it up in the pan. Right? So you kick back in your chair and get your paper, you know, and you just check out for a while. Let me ask you a question. Practically speaking, is that serving your wife? No. Again, it's not about you. You may have had a long day at the work, and you just want to decompress, and you just want to chill out. But guess what? She's had a long day, too. So come home and serve. Come home and serve. Then maybe you can chill out together in a little bit. But again, everything we do as husbands, we have to think, how can we serve our wives, serve our families? God's called us to be servant leaders. So when we say we're the leaders, yes, we have that position, but it's a servant leader. It's not, I am man, I bark, you jump. That not kind of leadership. Society will tell you that, but it is a servant position. Jesus served the church. What is the ultimate demonstration of service that he did for us? He died for us. He laid down his life for us. David was just talking about that. That's a beautiful picture. The way he laid down everything for us is what we're called to do for our wives. So we have to be leaders in our homes, but not just any kind of leaders. We've got to be servant leaders. Second thing that the Bible instructs us to do in verses 25 through 30. In verses 23 through 24 of Ephesians 5, we see that we're called to be the leader, but a servant leader, modeling our leadership after Jesus Christ. But also, we see in verse 25 through 30 that we're also called to be, if we want to be a happy husband is his wife's lover. Lover. Number two, write the word lover. Now let me read verse 25 through verse 30 to see what type of lover we're to be to our wives. Look what it says, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Now what? No, I'm assuming your Bible has the next little thing. Forget what it's called now. I have a comma, but what's that called? Apostrophe. Yeah. It doesn't have a period, right? Husbands, love your wives, period. You say, okay, well, I can figure out how I want to do that. But it doesn't have a period, it has a comma, right? You know what that means? There's more to the story, right? Let's continue to read. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Read that again. Because if you don't get this, you'll never love your wives the way you need to. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We have to love our wives the way Jesus loves us. These two go hand in hand. Being a leader and a lover, they go hand in hand. Look what the next thing on your outline says. We cannot successfully lead our wives if we don't first love them the way we should. You can't be the spiritual leader God wants you to be if you're not the spiritual lover He's called you to be. But you should love your wife so much that it's no issue, no big deal for you to serve and lead her the way God wants you to. Is it difficult? Yeah, but you're up for it because of how much you love your wife. You'll never lead her if you don't love her. And Jesus says we're commanded to love her, but not only to love her, but to love her the same way that He loves us. Whoa! That's love. Guys, you got to wrap your arms around this. Let me read it again, because if you miss this, you miss everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. We're to love our wives as much as Jesus loves us. The Bible talks a little bit about Jesus' love in a couple of verses. John 15, 13. I'm just going to give you a few. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loved us so much, He laid down His life. Romans 5, 8. But God showed His love for us that while we were still sinners and we didn't deserve it, Christ died for us. So do you get the picture of what kind of love we're to be showing our wives just from those two verses? Husbands are to sacrificially love their wives. That's the next thing on your outline. We are to be our wives' sacrificial lovers. We're to be servant leaders, to put her needs above ours, to serve her, do everything we can to spiritually serve her, physically serve her. But now we're to be a sacrificial lover. Basically, under your last part, you got a little blank spot there. I want you to write this, man. What does it mean to be a sacrificial lover? Basically, it means this. As simple as I can put it, you put her needs above yours. You put your wife's needs above yours. This is the kind of love that God has called you to as a husband. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. He gave Himself up. 1 John 3:16 says this, by this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But I say, if we apply this to marriage, we ought to lay down our lives for our wives. Same principle. Because it says Jesus loved us so much, He laid down His life for us. In Ephesians 5:25, we're to love our wives so much that we lay down our lives for them. Husbands, we ought to lay down our lives for our wives. David mentioned earlier, thinking about this thought, are you willing to die for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to die for those that you love? And I hope every one of you husbands love your wife so much that if it ever came down to that, you're willing to lay down your life for her. But it may never come to that, but if you love her that much and you're willing to, shouldn't that love be shown in everyday living, how you love and live with your wife? That statement had a question mark, not a period on it. Let me ask you that again. If you love your wife enough that you would lay down your life, physical life, for her, which the Bible says you should love her that much, if you never have an opportunity to do that, shouldn't that amount of love you have be shown in your day-to-day living with your wife? Shouldn't it? Look at your wife if she's here and say, yes, honey. It should. How does that look like practically speaking? Let me give you just a few things. Husbands, our plans, our wants, our needs, our desires, our dreams, our preferences, our likes, our opinions should all be sacrificed for our wife. Put her needs, her plans, her desires, her wants above your own. You say, but what if her needs are ungodly? Then let me take you back to where we started. If you're spiritually eating your home, will they be? Should they be? No, because you're making sure that you're both following hard after Jesus. You're making sure you're connecting spiritually together. You're keeping your pulse on the spiritual atmosphere in your home. And they're seeking hard after God. You're seeking hard after God. So ultimately, you're tracking along the same path. So this stuff gets a lot easier than you may be thinking it is right now. But you need to have the mindset, as a sacrificial lover, I'm willing to lay down everything for my wife. I'm willing to serve my wife, no matter what it costs me. I want to meet her needs before I meet my own. That's what a sacrificial lover is. And if I believe correctly, that's what our role model did for us, right? Remember in the garden, Jesus said, "Oh, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me." But then what did he say? "Not my will, but yours be done." He laid down his life for us. Husbands, the command that we have from God is to love our wives the same way. My question is, do we? When we look at how we spend our time, how we spend our money, the words we say, the time we spend, does it show our wives that we sacrificially love her? When you do the pie chart of your time, your wants, your desires, how much time you spend on meeting your needs, your things, doing your thing, does it show your wife you're sacrificially loving her? You see, we're to be dying to ourselves every day and living for Jesus Christ. But as husbands, we need to be denying ourselves and trying to meet the needs of our wives. Jesus laid down everything for him. So let's say you got this big fishing trip or hunting trip or sporting event you want to go to, but your wife says, "Honey, I've got something else I want to do that weekend, and it's very important to me." You look back and say, "Tough, I've got this on the schedule, sorry." What would a sacrificial lover and a servant leader do? You're like, "Ugh, I don't like that." You lay down your needs, do everything you can to meet hers. Wives, let me ask you a quick question. You hear the world tell you submission is such a bad thing, being, you know, having your husband as the head is such a bad thing, but if you've got a husband who's loving you this way, does that sound like a bad deal to you? We'll talk about that next week, but think about that for a moment. This is how these two work together. You see, this is not a bad deal for anybody. It's a lot of responsibility on the husband, because you're the one God's coming saying, "Are you serving and loving your wife the way you should be?" But husbands, are we being our wives' sacrificial lovers? Are we laying down our lives, our wants, our needs to make sure their needs are being met? I think that sounds like a good question for homework this week. Husbands, here's your first assignment. Write this down. If you've got to flip the back of your page over, please do so. But you're not going to want to miss this one. I want you to go back to your love seat, right? Or your recliners that touch. Whatever you have. I've heard different stories, and I love it. As long as you can grab their hand, look into their eyes. Your three cushion couch, but you're only sitting on two, right? You know the deal. Ask your wife this. Am I more of a selfish or sacrificial lover? Ask them that. Do you see me more as a selfish lover, meaning I care more about what I want, I care about meeting my needs, I care about doing what I want, my opinions, my hopes, my dreams, my goals, than I do yours? Do you see me that way, or do you see me more as a sacrificial lover, laying down what I want, what I need, what I desire to meet your needs? Ask them that question. Ask them that question. Now, we got to have some ground rules here. She needs to know, and you need to mean that whatever her answer is, there's no repercussions from you, right? This is everything on the table here. So if she said something, she said, you know what, I do you see you more as a selfish lover, then you fire back, right? You're doing like these guys. You're not waiting for her answer. You're thinking about your next response. No, that's not how I want you to do it. I want you to hear what she says. And then I want you to process that. And then we go back to our part, right? We acknowledge it. We make some changes. And we ask God to teach us how not to be such a selfish lover. You hear me? Guys, that's assignment number one. I need you to be honest, wives, though. Don't worry about hurting your husband's feelings here. Do it in love, but be honest. You see, we can't change if we don't have everything on the table. And this whole series is about us getting everything on the table so our marriages can be all that God wants it to be. But we can't deal with the issues if we don't know the issues there. You know, and there's been times in my life my wife has told me things and it blindsided me because I didn't realize I was even doing that. But I was so grateful. It hurt, and I didn't like it. But it helped me because then I could make adjustments to say, okay, I didn't even realize I was doing that. But that's not what God wants me to be. And then you can make the adjustments you need to make. You got to do this with God's help though, right? With God's help. Look at verse 28, 29, and 33 says of this same passage. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Go down to verse 33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. But in those couple of verses, we see that we're to love our wives as much as we love ourselves. Now, as flesh, we tend to love ourselves a lot, right? We like what we like. We like foods we like. We like patterns of behavior we like. We like things that make us feel good. We like going places that make us feel good. We've got our things that we enjoy. We've got our hobbies. We got all that. And we like to enjoy those things. That's loving ourselves. Do we love our wives as much as we love ourselves, and making us happy is what we're driving at here? Or are you more concerned about making your wife happy? That's where that question is driving. We should strive to take care of our wives far more than we take care of our own selves. Meeting our own needs, making ourselves feel good. Some of you like taking care of yourself, right, husbands? You like it. You like being in shape. You like working out. You like doing all this stuff. I know, you know, over the past year, as you saw maybe I put on Facebook this week, you know, I went to the doctor back in April. It said I had high cholesterol, I had high blood pressure, and that, you know, if I didn't make some changes, they either were going to put me on some medicine, or, you know, I was going to feel real bad leaving Kim a widow with seven kids. And I'm like, oh, don't want to hear that. You know, so I decided I don't want to be on medicine, so I want to get in shape. I want to eat better. I want to start working out. And it was hard. It was hard to get up and work out. It was hard to give up foods that I liked. It was hard to drink only water, right? It took work. But I committed to that getting in better shape. I committed to eating better. I committed to eating these weird foods that I swore I never would eat, and giving up foods that I swore I never would give up. But now, almost a year later, you know, I'm almost 40-something pounds lighter. But it took work. As I was thinking about that this week and what I did to get to where I'm at, and as I was going through this passage of Scripture, God said all those hours that you put getting yourself in shape, all those hours you put eating right and losing your own weight and getting yourself in shape, are you putting that plus more into making your marriage where it should be? You see, whether you are into workouts or whether you're just eating into pigging out, right? I want to hit everybody here. So if you're the one that's the health nut and does everything you can to stay in shape, or you're the one that just don't care and just wants to pig out and eat all the stuff, drink all the stuff you like, however much time you invest in doing either one, you should be doing that plus much more for your wife's meeting her needs. Everybody covered in there? Everybody covered in that analogy, right? So husbands, it don't matter what end of the spectrum you on, however much time you pour into yourself, loving yourself, either feeding your flesh or trying to take care of your flesh, God says, invest that much more into your wife. Because love her as much as you love yourself. And we're all about loving ourselves on either end of the spectrum. First Philippians 4:19 says this, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Every need of yours, God says He's going to supply in Christ Jesus. Every need of yours. So does Jesus supply every need we have? Is there a true need that we have that Jesus Christ doesn't supply? Have you ever had a true need that Jesus didn't come through on? I'm not talking about a greed or a want. But He says, I'll meet every need you have. He says the same thing in Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things. Everything you need will be given to you. So Jesus meets every need we have. Husbands, are we meeting every need our wives have? Now here's assignment number two. You thought you were just getting by with one. You are not. Here's number two. First one, am I more of a selfish lover or more of a sacrificial lover? And these two kind of go hand in hand, but you got to ask number two to really make sure number one happens. Here's the second thing. You sit down with your wife and you ask her this simple question. How am I doing at meeting your needs? How am I doing at meeting your needs? Wives, you got to give an honest answer. You're meeting them. You kind of are. You stink. If I stink, I want to know I stink. So men, what you got to do? I'm going to ask my beautiful wife to come up here one more time for me. Again, I'm going to show you before we close what you're supposed to do. Right? So everybody have this kind of stuff at home. You know what this is? Tell me what this is. Paper, right? All right, so sit down on your little love seat, right? Make sure you got no rugrats running around. Make sure you're not watching TV. Make sure you're not got the laptop or your phone in your lap. This is technology-free time, right? I don't think I said that first time I did this, but that's new ground rules, right? Technology-free time. Have your phone in another room, right? Have your computer in another room. Assignment one, you take your wife's hand, you look into her eyes, and say, honey, I love you. And I know the Bible tells me that I'm to be a servant leader and a sacrificial lover. How am I doing? Do you see me more as a selfish leader and lover or more of a sacrificial leader and lover? And then you let her tell you, right? It's not easy. You may want to crawl right into that hole in the couch, but you're not going to, right? Because you got your pen and your paper. And if you want to take notes, take notes. She gives you some examples. You may want to think about some things and write some things down. You may take time to process it, and that's okay. But the second question is a follow-up to number one, and after you talk about that for a little while, and don't give yourself a time limit. Don't say we got to do this in 10 minutes because the ball game's coming on. This is uninterrupted technology, TV-free time. You take her by the hand, look into her eyes one more time, and say, honey, I know the Bible tells me I'm to put your needs above mine. How am I doing at meeting your needs in our marriage, in our home? How am I doing meeting your needs? Then you let her speak. That's where you're probably going to need this. Because you say, well, I can just take out my phone and record what she says. But technology-free time. Because you know what you got to do in order before you can really meet your wife's needs. What must you know first? What her needs are, right? So she's going to say, you're doing a great job. And you go, thank you, Jesus, right? She'll say, you're doing okay. Here's some areas you're doing good at, but here's some areas I'd like for you to work on. Then what should you do at that point? Number one. I'm not going to have her tell you what I have now. Number two. Number three. Then when you get to like number 57, you can say, I've got enough to work on right now. You know, let's slow down. But again, you need to know what your wife's needs are before you can meet them, correct? So take some time, work on your homework this week. Am I more of a sacrificial lover, sacrificial leader? What do you see? Do you see me sacrificing, or you see me more about myself in our relationship? And am I meeting your needs? I want to know what your needs are. So husbands, you game? Hey, you're not trying to please me by doing this, right? Husbands, are you game? Because wait a minute, before you answer. You got somebody sitting beside you or somebody who may watch this, and they want to know if you're game. So let's hear how game you are, because you want to be the husband God called you to be. You want to be a servant leader. You want to be a sacrificial lover. You want to do your part. So husbands, are you game?
Yes.
Are you game?
Yes.
Wives, are you game?
Yes.
I was scared the wives were going to be louder than the husbands. So I didn't measure it. We may not want to. So, hey, this is to help us all, right? If you want to be the husband God wants you to be, we got a roadmap. We looked at what His Word says. We're to be servant leaders, sacrificial lovers. Now we got to do it. It starts by sitting down, talking to your wife, seeing where you are, doing your part, praying, acknowledging where you're falling short, repenting, trying to do things differently, letting God teach you, talk to other men who've been there, done that, who may can give you some good advice. And then let's be the husbands God calls us to be. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we are grateful this morning for who You are. God, we are grateful for Your Word. God, we know as husbands, we have an awesome responsibility to lead our wives and to lead our homes. And God, for many of us, we've forsaken that responsibility. We've let the world teach us and shape us and mold us and tell us that we're to be passive or we're to be pushovers or we're to be wallflowers. But Your Word teaches none of that. We're to be men. We're to lead our wives. We're to protect our wives. We're to spiritually nourish our wives. Lord, I pray today that Your Word, not mine, spoke through loud and clear. And that every one of us husbands will understand that we're to be servant leaders, modeling how we are as a husband to Jesus Christ and how He is to us. Lord, help us to lead our wives with a servant's heart. God, help us to love our wives with a sacrificial heart. Help us to do our part. God, I know the homework assignment may not be easy, but I know it wasn't easy for You to go through what You did for us. But because of Your love for us, You did. And I pray that every husband in this place today will love their wives enough that they'll sit down, ask those questions, hear the answers, then commit to do whatever it takes to be the husband God's called us to be. Lord, we have Your roadmap. We have the power of Your Spirit to help us do it. And we have each other to lock arms with. So, Lord, I pray today that every husband in this place would be strengthened, would become better husbands, more godly husbands. And, God, we would be men that our wives would be happy to follow. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.